We saw last week that the secret of a successful spiritual life can be found in the area of self-defense, how to fight against intruding thoughts. It is not within our control to have or not to have thoughts. Many people become terribly upset because they had an unclean or a filthy thought. When we become upset and discouraged, we benefit the devil because he wants to tire us out. And when we become exhausted in the battle, then he can overcome his victim easier. Let's never become tired in our battle. Let's always remind ourselves that when a filthy thought comes in, no matter what, no matter how awful, how disgusting, we must tell ourselves that this is never, never my sin. We never sin because a thought came in. Whether the thought comes straight from the devil or whether it surfaces from our filthy subconscious, in both cases, it is not a sin. So let's not fall into depression or a state of panic when we have some evil thoughts. We will not give these passing or fleeing thoughts the time of the day. The minute they appear, we must expel them, get rid of them. St. Cassian goes on to say that to further help ourselves in the struggle, we need to study spiritually. And yes, initially it refers to books, but it also includes divine contemplation or theoria, the ability to reach deep in the love of God, in the mysteries of God, to be able to understand more and more. This type of spiritual preoccupation is extremely valuable, and when we reach this level, we don't allow any bad thoughts to come in because we keep our mind busy and active in the right area. We keep our mind busy with good thoughts, with this spiritual study, to read, to study, to think, and to ponder on the subject matter that I just read. In this area, fasting is also very helpful, and when a person fasts, he will succeed in overcoming many temptations, and especially the bodily ones. When a person is involved in bodily sins, 9 chances out of 10, he's not keeping the fast either. Fasting has great value in this particular area that we are discussing. Equally important is also the watchfulness or guarding of our senses and the readiness to fire and pull the trigger against the enemy and against thoughts coming from the enemy, to stay vigilant and not be caught asleep, because one of the tactics of the devil is the element of surprise. So we must constantly be ready in every situation, while at work or on the street, on the road, or at the marketplace. So purity is the victory over fornication. Purity is a great virtue. Whoever desires to enter into marriage must do so with purity, free from premarital sin, and he will have the praise and the blessing of God. When the service of holy matrimony is taking place, we have an act of coronation. In Greek, it is actually called stephanoma. But in the early years, instead of wreaths, crowns were being used. So a crowning takes place in the service of marriage. So this coronation spells out the victory of those that are being crowned. The coronation is a meaningful part of the service, even though the central part of the mystery is when the priest takes the hands of the couple and unites them and reads the prayers for them to become one body, etc. This is the central core of the mystery, the union, the mystical union that takes place by the grace of God. The coronation, or the stephanoma, is only a supplement to the service. But the question is, why do we do it? we crown our newlyweds to reward them for their victory against the flesh. The crowns reward their virginity. They succeeded in keeping their purity, and virginity does not only belong to the girls, but to the boys as well. Regardless what our customs may teach us, we have one gospel for everybody. So the church is recognizing these two soldiers for reaching this special point of their life victoriously. And this is beautiful. Now, what can be said about our wicked and adulterous generation when our boys and girls have indulged into all kinds of sin, premarital relations, years of dating, which shows the terrible shape of our Christians today? We should be ashamed to walk up the aisle and pretend, what a parody, pretend to be crowned. Crowned for what? Well, for our young people that are listening, let's make sure that you are worthy of that crown that the church will give you that day. And more than just the crown will be the blessing of God, which goes along with the coronation. And don't forget that purity serves as the subfloor of all the virtues. No virtue can be developed without this foundation of virginity. Fornication has no part in our life, no part whatsoever. It must be absent totally. When Father Athanasius asks some of the young boys during confession, he asks, my son, how are you doing? Have you had any trouble with immorality? How are you holding up? And many times he gets the answer, not yet. I'm still too young. He gets this response, which really means that when a couple of years pass, things will change. And I will follow the path of my peers. No, young people, let's eradicate this thought from our minds. No, purity is a great virtue of tremendous importance which will affect the rest of your life. Let's not look forward to teenage years to do the things that some of the boys and girls of the world do, but we must train ourselves to avoid the passion of immorality like the plague. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter says something extremely important. Flee from immorality. Flee from fornication. How important this is? We only need to be reminded of St. Joseph in Egypt, who defeated this enemy by running away from his demanding master's wife. Usually, with the conventional enemy, the brave soldier will do battle. He will stay there and fight. None wins. Nobody wins medals by running away, except in the fight against fornication. The brave soldier will flee. If he stays and tries to fight this battle, he will soon be taken prisoner by his own flesh. This is why the Church Fathers suggest for us to remember our past sins, keep them in front of us in order to humble ourselves and not repeat them. All except the sins of the body. Remembering these sins can quickly stir those sleeping passions in a person. Let's never forget that every passion is represented by a demon. This is not a figure of speech. It is reality. We say the demon of gluttony, the demon of sloth, the demon of pride. And we have the demons of fornication, which is extremely cunning and maneuvers strategically to enslave every human being alive. Behind the passions are there specialists, the evil spirits, which specialize in pushing us to sin. The warfare of the demon of fornication employs great methodology, superb tactics to encircle us and bring us down. This demon uses great camouflage. It is initially undetectable. People often ask, what's so wrong with this? This seems so innocent. Why is this bad? to only end up committing tragic mistakes when the demon strikes when it's least expected. The evil spirit of immorality works on its victims for many, many years. It starts out by provoking the senses. It offends, it provokes all the senses in general, but concentrates on three of the senses, the sight, the hearing, and the touch. It starts with the eyes, the ears, and the skin. Simply what we see, what we hear, and what we touch. In the area of the vision, we have the cinema, the movies, television, pictures in magazines, nudity, at least partial nudity, served to us by fashion. The more a dress reveals, the more fashionable and expensive it becomes. Bathing suits today cost even more than some dresses. And all these things provoke the sense of sight. The eyes record these images deep in the subconscious, and when someone sits back and gets lost in this type of imagination, then the workshop of the devil works full time. Many times we may be in a hurry and we happen to see a certain image and we don't think much about it. Days, months, years later, in the office or in bed or while relaxing, this image comes back. We recall these images. And we begin to work and add and subtract from this evil matter, and this can lead us into a great temptation. We begin to daydream. We wonder how that person is doing who used to like me 10 years ago and whatever happened to that person and who did they marry. And soon we are producing an imaginary soap opera not to be outdone by those that America wallows in daily. We also have our ears open, and especially open to radio shows, talk shows, late night shows, and at the workplace where the one man will be bragging of his erotic accomplishments over the weekend and their experiences. These conversations are terribly provocative, and they can create for us a terrible temptation that can tempt us for years. About our music, our modern music or secular music, the songs that most of our young people work with, drive with, sleep with, wake up with, the messages in these lyrics are terrible. All these push us to immorality. Combine the music now with the sense of touch, the third sense very dear to the demon of fornication, and now we have the very suggestive song with the sounds of rock and roll combined in a slow dance holding bodies. The touch in the human, at least according to Saint Nicodemus the Hagarite, the sense of touch is the most bothersome of the five senses. The sense of touch will soon begin to burn the entire body, and this foolish modern notion, well, we're just going to hold hands. The hands serve as the kindling, as the starting sticks that will soon light up the entire body. So the senses collect all this material to work, with which is stored and piled up in the subconscious for the use of the imagination, which has the tremendous ability to add and subtract and to paint all kinds of pictures from its storehouses, and now comes along the great con artist called the devil. He will use his multicolor collections, adding brushstrokes after brushstrokes to push the person to succumb to sin. So this person becomes inflamed, and now if you suggest to him to control himself, he will tell you, no way, this is impossible. And yes, at this point, it is quite impossible because the fight is already lost. The fight is lost to the wild imagination caused by the provocation of the senses. But the devil does not only provoke the senses to lead someone to immorality, he also uses a very subtle weapon which is extremely successful and most powerful. Here we must be extremely careful. The devil comes to assault the area of the heart. The heart itself becomes hit by the fiery darts of Cupid, the demon who succeeded to be worshipped even by a holiday in February. This attack is much more serious than the attack on the imagination. Here the heart becomes bruised by emotion, and emotionalism blossoms in the passion of lust and fornication. What does emotionalism mean? When you see a person, you don't have any thoughts of immorality, no bodily temptation, but you simply like that person. You are somehow attracted to that person, and you are beginning to have feelings. Never mind that you may be 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 years old. In other words, you are beginning to feel attraction, you are beginning to fall in love, and you are convincing yourself that you want to be close to that person, to look at them, and you can't do without looking at this person. And yes, you're definitely doing this without necessarily having a desire for a physical relation. That's the farthest thing from a mind. And we ask, what is wrong with this type of thing? It is true that when a person has true feelings for another person, the physical desire is often put on the back burner. The passion hides. It hibernates. It hibernates behind the sentimentality, and the passion of lust submerges itself under the blanket of these feelings of cupidity or romance. If you would ask, which is more powerful, the fulfillment of the sexual desire or the desire to be in love, to share feelings with someone, the second one wins hands down. Father Paisios, a holy ascetic who just passed away several months ago and he's now a citizen of paradise praying for us, he said something remarkable on this. Thousands of people used to visit Father Paisios and they would ask his advice, and many people, especially young people, would pass by his cell to ask and see if they should follow the monastic life or if they should get married, and he would give them the proper instruction. Well, he said that boys that came here to become monks, if they had fallen to immorality because of the great temptations in this world, they repented and they defeated this demon and stayed as monks. Boys that never fell into immorality but had a high degree of sentiment, they were very emotional, they were vulnerable and quickly guided by their emotions, they gave up and they could not stay as monks. They were attached to the world and they could not become easily detached from it. While the boys who simply had a strong physical temptation, they carried out the sin, but they could detach themselves from it by simply changing the environment. The incurable romantic in today's language, or the sentimental fornicator, according to the gospel, will be in constant danger because the passion of fornication is mixed or covered by feelings of romance or premarital love. This is extremely dangerous because it appears as innocent. It appears as something very natural, something of the human nature. After all, what is so wrong with being attracted to someone or to have someone to share some thoughts and feelings with? Nothing bad is going to happen because we are simply fond of each other and we respect each other. We will date and we know when to draw the line. After all, we are Christian kids. We know our responsibilities, right? If you will, this is precisely why you should watch yourself more, because you are an Orthodox Christian. The devil takes great pride to win battles with faithful people. The masses that are away from God, he has no trouble with. He's after the people of God. So my friend, watch yourself from every trap of the devil. If we happen to ever fall, we run to holy confession right away, and we promise to God not to try to repeat this sin again. God knows our every thought. He knows our heart, and he will help us. He is with us. However, he gave us freedom, and we must learn to exercise this freedom. We are free to allow these thoughts to come in our heart, and we are free to expel them. We are free to allow our emotions to run rampant, and yes, we can have the power to control our emotions. It is no excuse to say that I couldn't help it, I liked that person, or I fell. It is up to us. However, the devil can slowly weaken our defenses, and then it is very, very difficult for us to stand upright. Again, let's not be deceived. Let's not think that, yes, we can have feelings for someone. We can continue to do this for years, and we will continue to stay away from sin, and we will not have any interest for physical relations. This is a trap. Many times people start out their dating with no ulterior motives. They feel that they genuinely care for each other and enjoy each other's company. The truth is that this state does not last very long, and things advanced, as we will clearly explain in a series of lessons beginning next week.